So today is Ascension Day, and for us now, we know that it's foreshadowing to Pentecost, but the disciples didn't know that, and so they had to, once again, trust what Jesus was telling them. My favorite part in the scriptures is in Luke, when it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and I mean, I think Jesus had to do that all the time because the disciples are so dense like we are, but hopefully our minds will also be opened up too as we listen to the scriptures and the message today. Please pray with me as we start our worship time. It's the prayer comes from Ephesians and Acts, which are two of the readings for today. God of all glory, as we come to know your Son, through the living word of Scripture, enlighten our hearts with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Remind us again of Christ's authority over the church at all times in all places. Renew in us again our purpose as Christ followers to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ to all people in all places. All glory and honor be to you, Christ Jesus. Amen. If you would like to stand, you can, and join me for the call to worship. It's in your bulletin. And then you can stay standing for the first songs. This is based on Psalm 47, which is one of our readings. Clap your hands, all you people.
Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Sing praises to our sovereign Lord.
God is sovereign over all the earth.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises.
Let everything that has breath sing praises. Shout to God with loud tones of joy. Our first song is 364, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And Stevers, do you mind?
Everybody ready?
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown.
Crown him, Lord of all.
365. That's
about you, but that always takes me back to college when I was working with the youth group at the church, and if you could turn with me to 889 in the back of your book. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and put a new and steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit.
Amen. Our first scripture is Luke.
Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus is it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God.
Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of God. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that God has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
In recognition of Mother's Day, and in honor of all the many feelings that come on a day of recognition of one particular group of people, I wanted to start with this prayer, written by Kate Bowler. Please pray with me. God bless all the moms, those who have carried us in their bodies, and in their hearts, and in their minds, and all those who have mothered us in some form or fashion. The ones who answer our calls no matter the time of day or how absurd the request. Those who remind us that we are loved, 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 no matter what. We thank them and honor them all. Those we can hug today, and those who are now gone, and those now distant from us. And bless all those too for whom mothering is complicated, difficult, heartbreaking, or incomplete. Do what only you can do, God. Bless and heal, restore, rebuild, pour love over everything these hearts have touched. Amen. Every once in a while, I get a wild idea, and I usually drag my family along with me to help make the idea a reality. Luckily, I have been blessed with a tolerant husband and kids who roll their eyes and poke a bit of fun at me, but are still willing to come along. On Friday, it was the Northern Lights. I have never seen them, but it's on my bucket list to sleep in one of those like glass-topped cabins in Iceland where you can see them from your cozy bed or something like that. And here they were, supposedly visible in Wisconsin. So my tolerant family and I drove into pouring rain. Actually, Peter would like me to point out that he drove through pouring rain and I just sat in the front seat, west toward Madison and in the opposite direction of the storm, hoping for clear skies. We got off the highway and headed north, trying to find a spot to pull off that wasn't too near a farmhouse to be creepy and wasn't too near trees so we could see the sky. And we somehow found this dark road stopped near a field, slightly flooded from the recent rains, and when I rolled down my window, we were greeted with a chorus of frogs. We got out and stood on a dark Wisconsin country road, looking up at the sky, where we could see a changing, moving, grayish-green light perpendicular to the earth high overhead. The chilly air, the frogs singing, the quiet world around us, the surreal lights overhead, was kind of magical. And as I stood there, I thought of the disciples, standing with their mouths agape, looking up into the sky like I was, amazed like I was. In the months leading up to the scriptures that we had read today, we've got to remember the disciples have gone through it. Imagine with me, imagine being one of this band of weary men and women. They've followed Jesus all over the countryside, handing out loaves and fishes and gathering up baskets of leftovers. They've been asked to give up their belongings and their jobs and not know where they're going to sleep the next night. They've walked down the streets of Jerusalem, crowds chanting and waving palm branches. They watched with terror as Jesus was arrested, tried, and tortured. Some of them waited and watched him die. Others ran away in fear. And then, after days of mourning, Jesus appeared again, first to the women of their group and then to all of them, saying that he had risen from the dead. Now, Luke tells us that Jesus appeared to the disciples various times for 40 days after his resurrection until we get to this day, the day of Jesus' ascension. Luke is the only gospel that talks directly about the ascension, and Luke leaves the full story of the ascension for Acts in the passage that John just read. So the disciples arrive at this moment after years of following Jesus and doing all the strange things that he had asked them to do, after watching him die, after spending 40 days in amazement that he had risen, they come to Bethany on the outskirts of Jerusalem and wait to see what Jesus will do next. I wonder what their emotional state was like after so many ups and downs over the last several years, and I wonder what they expected of Jesus. So Jesus turns to them and says, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not long from now." And they must have been amazed yet again, because what does that mean, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Grasping at straws, trying to understand, they ask, "Is this when you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And I think that Jesus was probably amazed in that moment, because that question is an incredible highlight of how the disciples still didn't get it. Jesus has been telling them for years that his kingdom is not of this world, that he comes to upend the current systems of justice. Jesus has been ministering to the sick and those on the margins of society. And even after years of watching Jesus in the flesh and being taught for 40 days by the resurrected Jesus, the disciples still didn't get it. They were still watching for what they thought was going to happen, what they'd been told about the expected Messiah, maybe from the time they were small. Even knowing Jesus personally as a teacher, a friend, and a traveling companion, they still didn't understand his message. So Jesus probably sighed and responded, "You can't know what God will do, but you will be given power of the Holy Spirit, and you are going to go out and tell my story all over the world." And then he gets lifted up into the sky and disappears. I can't quite imagine this, but I think I probably would have stared slack-jawed, gazing up at heaven, exactly like the disciples did, because just like I did on that quiet Wisconsin road on Friday night, because I think that's the proper human response. And then all of a sudden, not only is Jesus gone, but two white-robed men stood in front of the disciples and said, "Why are you looking up at the sky? Jesus is going to come again the same way you saw him go up." And so the disciples leave the mountain and went back to Jerusalem to pray and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. I mean, I think if I had gone through that as one of those disciples, I would have been emotionally wiped out and also shocked and maybe confused. But I think the disciples are so relatable in their responses, and it gives me hope that the people who knew Jesus best, who followed him for days and ate around a table with him, that these people also routinely got things wrong. Makes me hopeful that even someone who gets it wrong as often as I do, even I might have been welcomed as a member of Jesus' ragtag band. So even as flawed and as human as they are, I look to the disciples for next steps. What do we do when the Son of God is suddenly taken up into heaven? Luckily, the disciples had two men in white robes to tell them what to do. Get going! No longer gazing up to heaven, the men remind the disciples to put their gaze back towards the journey, towards their mission on earth. The world has changed. The empire has killed Jesus and thinks him dead still, but Jesus has triumphed. has risen, and now he has ascended to heaven. The prophecies have been fulfilled, even if they weren't fulfilled in the way that the disciples thought they might be. And now a new chapter begins, one with Jesus not here with us in the flesh, but leaving us his teachings and words to follow. And like the disciples, we have to turn our gaze back to the journey ahead. How much of our time is spent gazing up at heaven? How often do we want God to just come and fix things? How often do we think we know what God is going to do? Jesus is talking to us just as he was talking to the disciples. Beloveds, he says, you can't know what God will do, but you can go out and be my disciples of my light and teachings. One thing that I learned from the Ascension story is turning your eyes away from heaven and waiting for Jesus to come back and instead focusing on our goals here on earth. Work toward the kingdom of God, but don't think you know exactly how things will turn out. God's ways are not the ways of people, and no matter how we try, we cannot know the time, place, or method of God's work. But we can do our best to follow Jesus' teachings, to want to walk in his paths, and to be open to the workings of the Spirit in the people and the places around us. In the car on our way home from the magical experience with the Northern Lights, I opened social media. There were many incredible pictures of the Northern Lights with gorgeous reds and greens and blues, far more brilliant than what we had experienced. And all of a sudden, my experience seemed less photogenic, less magical. And I wonder if this also is a way to think about our experiences with Jesus and his teachings. In the moment, we may be amazed, but when we compare our experience with what the world offers us, it may feel that Jesus' ways are less exciting, less perfectly packaged, and certainly less flashy. It may make us feel that what we know about Jesus and the way that he works isn't actually valid or helpful. And I point this out specifically because this is the great lie that the world tells us. Comparing my experience with those of others on social media only decreased my joy and wonder. Comparing the flashiness of the world's false promises with the steady, quiet work of Jesus will bring us nothing but emptiness. Jesus' ways are not the world's ways. Jesus won't come with a PR team. He won't come with bleached teeth and a perfect haircut, which is good because honestly, I think I belong more with a group of disciples, a bunch of tax collectors and ostracized women and fishermen. And the good news is, Jesus hasn't left us behind. We aren't still standing slack-jawed on a mountaintop looking at the spot in which he disappeared. When we let go of the world's expectations and follow Jesus' teachings, when we turn our eyes to the journey and look to further the upside-down kingdom of God, then we will find Jesus on our way. We may see Jesus in a group of people who meets for prayer. We may hear his voice in the wind through the trees. We may hear his voice in the laughter of our friends. And we will see him in the people collecting the garbage, bagging our groceries, cleaning our office buildings. We will see him in teachers who keep reaching out to the lost students, in parents who are just trying to keep on going, in those who grieve. Jesus is everywhere. But just like his teachings weren't obvious to the disciples when he was walking here on earth, they may not be obvious to us now. So we have to stay awake. We have to stay alert and notice when we encounter the spark of Christ in each other. How have you seen Jesus at work this week? How might you keep your eyes open for a future encounter? In what ways do you watch the skies for Jesus' return, and in what ways do you need to turn your gaze to the journey ahead? My prayer for all of us is that we may see Jesus this week in the world around us, and that others may see Jesus in us. Amen.
All right, what we decided on here is there's a first ending. So we'll sing the first three lines, repeat back up to the top of the song, and then there's a second ending that we will sing through to the middle of the second page. After that, there's a repeat that'll go back to the first of the song, and we'll sing the second ending part again. And at that point, then we'll go to the last two lines for the coda. Let's see how it goes. Now the trick is for me to come in at the right point. Four bars, okay.
I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for all this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for all of us who believe, according to the working of his great power? Amen. As our psalm for the day says, to shout to the Lord. That's how we will go out. It's 125 in your hymnal, and then if you want to stand, you can. And it's one of those songs that just kind of keeps going around and around until the musicians say no. And then you can stay standing for the benediction. This is another one of those take you back to, I don't know what kind of mood I was in, but sorry, this is another take you back to youth group.
I'll sing in American English, though.
You can sing it with an Australian accent, you can sing it in Spanish. Thank you to Stevers for stepping in. I just looked, this one was written in 1993. That was the year I graduated high school, so this is an older song, I guess, now. Hear the benediction. Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may God's blessing be with you always. Go in peace.